Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa. Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. It's a very big day. It's a very special day, as they all are. But this one is even more special because Paul survived and was able to escape from the jails of Singapore and made it all the way back. Good to see you, Paul. Welcome back.
Good to see you, Tom. This is a You said it first, the summer was ending. Now it is officially over.
Now you're convinced?
Yes.
Yeah, it's done. We're in football season. The football pool is rocking along. It's what's signifying it for you? What was the big
realization? I saw Halloween stuff in
you
the
did.
Store.
Yeah, well, you haven't been in a store in a while.
But then I saw your spider on your landing outside, so I thought that maybe you were trying to jump the gun.
We had these porcelain rabbits out there since Easter, and they were more decorative than an Easter decoration, so they just stuck around, as rabbits want to do. And they just got swapped out for what looks like a spider, but if you get close to it, it's really a fly.
It's a fly?
Yeah, it's like a horse fly.
Oh.
You can't tell from, unless you're really right on top. It's a big metal sculpture thing.
Yeah.
It is a spider. For everyone walking down the street, that's a Halloween spider.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about breaking out some other Halloween things shortly.
I mean, it's middle of September.
Yeah, exactly. So I figure, like, drips and drabs is kind of fun. It's fun to walk into the kitchen and just see a candy corn appear.
Yeah, I literally think that we just picked what our costumes were last year. That's why it was so weird. I feel like Halloween just happened.
You know what happens with me with that is I look at it the same way I do the Super Bowl. Huge event, big event. You went to a party. You were there. And then I can't remember who won last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? That happens a lot.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Halloween. I'm like, oh, what was I last year?
That's all LA, though. That's just you not even knowing
right.
what season it is.
That, yeah, it's exactly right.
Because you really do mark the season by the weather. So it's like,
yeah.
I remember the first time it started snowing, it's like every day is the same here. So.
I know. It's like even when you say like summer's officially over, I have to take into everything in account except for really the weather. We have
right.
a slight change in the evening. You can kind of tell it's starting to cool off in a different way. But really, I mean, right now, I just got back from a run because I'm an athlete, and it's like 80 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
So we can't really say that we're hanging out on hay rides and putting on our flannel shirts here.
Right.
It's more different indicators.
Until you
sure.
get your AC turned off.
Yeah, right. I know. Exactly. The air is on right now. Well, welcome back. It's nice to have you back. We have Baked is entering its third week. The Food Network show is very exciting. It's doing very well. People are loving the show. Everyone that sees it loves it. It's been on at 10 o'clock on the Food Network each week. This week, we go back down to one episode, and we do Philadelphia,
nice.
Which is one of my favorites, I have to admit. I think it was the first one we shot, third one to appear, or actually fifth one. And it's so good. It's so amazing. The people are great. The food is amazing. I just have a real love affair with this one. So tell your friends. Spread the word. Baked will be on Monday at 10.
Nice. And I will say one of the first things I did when I got back, because Baked is not available in Asia, Tom.
Son of a.
And there wasn't a whole lot. There was actually a ton of time. About 18 hours that I could have watched something on the plane. But but I did watch the first episode, and it was awesome. It was really cool. I
Thank
loved
you.
Everything That's the thing. It must be tough with it. There's like no fat on that show at all. Like you can make a couple jokes, but like all the stuff is so interesting. And then on to like the next thing. Like you did a thing about Cantors,
right?
Which everyone's been to Cantors. And then there was like five new things that you'd never seen there.
Yeah. It's for me, I always dig the shows that are, they're fun. They're like funny. And then you learn a little something as you go along.
Yeah.
And this is definitely one of those.
That's why you gotta take this to, I mean, I'm sure you'll have enough American cities to last you a bunch of seasons.
Yeah.
But like if you went to Thailand.
Yeah. No.
I mean, that was one of the things when you talked about, you know, just about like how food is more important in other cultures and, you know, I never really thought about like of the fast food thing ruining America.
Yeah.
Like you never, like I was like, okay, it's quick and it's fast and you go. But then when you're in one of these towns and the entire street is just all these carts of people selling, well, what is this guy selling? This is coconut ice cream inside a coconut. This lady's making pad thai. Like everything looks cleaner than any kitchen that you would see with all these pans and all the ingredients. And it's just like, wow, this is what this culture is, you know, all this food.
Well, you're tied to it. You're really, you feel like there's not so much of a separation from how it's made, where the food comes from, and you're eating it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we kind of, you lose when you have like our strip mall mentality of fast food.
Like it's also the grocery store too. Like,
yeah.
Like if you, you know, that's one of the great things about New York is that you're doing everything on the go, right? So you don't go to the grocery store once a week like you do in the suburbs. You know, even if you had a mom that cooked, like New York is all about like, well, what's this guy selling or what's this guy selling?
Right. I had something funny actually on Twitter. Somebody said, I was on Facebook Live talking about the show. And I said that I just got back from food shopping, and someone laughed and said, I loved hearing you say food shopping. It's such a New Jersey, Long Island thing.
Right.
And I was like, that is kind of rude and crude. I'm going to get the food.
Yeah.
Food shopping. I'm like, what do you say? She's like, grocery shopping. Like, yeah, it's much, much more civilized. I'm going food shopping. I'm going to the store that gives me the food.
Well, it is exciting when you find, like, especially when you're in New York and you're just going, like, meal to meal, and then you do make that trip to like the big food store.
Yeah,
and you just like pile up whatever I can carry.
There is something exciting about it, but there is definitely something, you know, like when you think when I learn about baking or making or cooking something, and they say, you know, go to the market and see what's fresh. That is such a hard thing to do in our supermarket because everything looks glossy, shiny, wet, and fresh.
Right.
You can't, you know, unless you really know what you're looking for certain things, everything looks like it's fresh year-round. And it's not the case.
Right,
they're modified and brought in and changed and, you know.
Like, why are there strawberries in December?
Yeah, there's very few things that you're beholden to. But if you go to a farmer's market, you don't find the strawberries because they are going from what they can get, you know, off of the farm.
Yeah.
It is really interesting. I wonder if people are going to be able to hear this very loud. You hear that constant.
I hear. You can. These mics are pretty good, though.
Yeah. I was thinking, how about this as an idea? And I was thinking when I was sitting out back waiting for you to come, wouldn't it be fun to do it outdoors? I mean, it'd be fun for us.
Yeah.
But it'd also be fun for our listeners. What's wrong? Like, you know, we don't need to be in the studio where it's pure sound.
Right.
I think it would be kind of cool to listen to a podcast where you hear a plane go by or you hear a bird or you hear a dog bark. Or I mean, it's just the natural. You would have to sit outside and have a conversation and you're not like freaking out because a plane went by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, did you ever hear that the podcast I did with Ari, we did during a Yankee game?
Oh, yeah.
Right. We were like in the bleacher seats and we had the microphones and I guess we just looked official or something.
So they didn't.
And we just started talking and there's actually a no hitter through like six innings. And And I'm like, so am I not supposed to say there's a no-hitter? And then Ari's like, what? What are you doing? And then the next batter. But you could hear, like, the crack of the bat and the crowd just like it was, like, a fake sound effect.
So
you know?
Great. Yeah, I mean, that's how they broadcast the game, right? Mm-hmm. You hear the crowd and you hear the announcers and everything.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we might do it.
Yeah, we should do something.
Yeah, new thing. Outdoors. I mean, we're in L.A. It's very rare that you can't be outdoors. We might as well embrace it.
Yeah, because who? I think Kevin Nealon was doing like hiking with Kevin or something. Did you see that? Like he's got like a selfie stick.
No.
Oh yeah, I bet he'd ask you to do it if you. It's funny. I think the first one he did with Conan maybe, and it was basically he thought it'd be funny to do a talk show while everyone's out of breath. So it's like you're hiking, and then
it's a great idea.
I think he does, but he has like the selfie stick, and he shoots it himself, like. With his phone.
That's funny.
And I guess he's got mics and stuff, but yeah, he does like, I don't know how long it takes to, I think it's Runyon Canyon or whatever, that one canyon that everybody hikes.
Oh, that's hilarious. What a great idea. Yeah, 17 minutes. He's so funny.
And he's not like a young guy either. Like, he's in pretty good shape to be hiking that.
Yeah. Oh, you can have your dog off your leash. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Oh, that's funny. And a lot of celebrity sightings, and then he runs into somebody and interviews him. That's pretty cool. I like that. And then he runs into Sarah Silverman. What a great idea.
Yeah, it's. We should do something at, like, I was thinking about, like, I guess you couldn't do it at a Dodger game, but, like, what else?
I don't want to go far from my house.
Where... We could be at the driving range.
I realize that I make most of my major life decisions based on how close it is to my house. I went to school, not right. that far from home. I pick my all of my dry cleaners and places like that. Comedy clubs, whatever's right. closest to my house. Everything is really based on my whole life. Things for my kids, like what sports they're going to be in or what shows they're going to do or... It's really just, how far from my house?
Right, right.
That's really my whole life is trying to stay close to the home.
That's what the, there was one like TV, one of the big like TV writers, and he said he lived like in the hills, you know?
Yeah.
And like he would only take TV shows if they were at CBS Radford, like on this side of the hill.
Oh my God. I got a job one time down near the airport from where I live. I was like, forget it. And my life was hell for a year. I really think probably that was the reason the show didn't get picked up mentally. I just didn't want to do it.
Well, if you'll indulge me, Tom, for the fans. So I watched the first episode. So
a baked?
You did the L.A. pizza thing. Which
yes.
Everyone said there's no good pizza in L.A.
Such a lie.
And so you found this guy, Vito.
He's too far to deliver to my house. Again, another problem.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's what I was wondering, because it just said West Hollywood, but then you never know if it's like really
kind
in West
of by
Hollywood.
Largo in the Comedy Store.
Oh, okay.
On La Cienega in a strip mall there.
Oh.
Right when you cross Santa Monica.
Okay.
He's right in there, and he's amazing. The place is great. He's great. The food is just kick-ass. I mean, it's so good. It's nothing to do with the water. It's nothing to do with any of these things that people always complain why they can't make good pizza.
Well, he does walk his yeast outside.
Well, that's important. It's about the guy and knowing how to do it and using the right ingredients, and this guy just knows what he's doing. And I want it every day, but it's like to get it for my kids, like we'd have to drive over and eat it there.
Yeah.
I don't think I could get it over to this side of the hill.
You can't get like...
I could try. There is like...
Uber Eats or something.
Yeah, there's like Seamless or one of those that has it listed on there. So maybe they can put it in a heat box and get it over here, but it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
It's so good though. God, is it good. Vito's Pizza.
So that's the LA guy, because he was saying that starter yeast that he makes his dough with is like 400 or 500 years old, he thinks.
Yeah, it comes from his family back in Italy.
That's nuts.
And he keeps feeding it and walking it around so the natural yeast gets in it, and he's legit.
And he told you you could contact his aunt about the recipe. I think you should do it.
I should do it when I go to Jersey.
He was like, he was trying to like call your bluff.
Yeah.
And when you asked him what's in it, because he wouldn't give you the recipe.
Exactly.
And he's like, if you're my aunt Jenny or whoever it was, you call her up and she gives it to you.
Yeah, just, when you're in Jersey, if she gives it to you.
Just you say, can, I put your nephew on TV.
Yeah, come on now. And this week, Philly is so good. We do Termini Brothers, which is the best cannolis I've ever eaten.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's insane. This is one of those places that at Christmas, there's a line. People line up Christmas Eve before it opens. At like 5 in the morning, they start lining up to get their cannolis for Christmas. And it's just around the block. They have to go out and feed them cannoli pieces just to satisfy them online and keep their strength up. And the place just rocks through Christmas, knocking out these cannolis. It's insane.
Yeah, that's...
And they took me in the back and we made them. I mean, it was just heaven.
That's one that I've never... You know, I think most of the time I always got, like, store-bought ones. I don't think I've ever had, like, a good cannoli.
Once you have the real thing, it really... That's an L.A. thing that I've had a real problem with, is finding a good cannoli out here. Very tough.
Yeah, it's not a... It's not, like, a sought-after thing, even.
I know.
For me, because it's, like, there's so many other, like, sweet things. But, like, it was, like, when we went to Tartine in San Francisco, and we finally had, like... You know, you eat a croissant,
yeah.
But then you have, like, a real croissant.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, wow.
You're like, holy cow, I can't go back. I know, that place. And then we do Sarcone's Bakery, which is this amazing bakery. They make tomato pie, and then they send their bread. We followed their bread to this place called Danick's. Sticky buns, donuts, federal donuts with donuts and fried chicken. Oh, my God. So good. So, As friends of the show, if you can go on Food Network's Facebook page and tweet about it, whatever you want to do, these next several episodes will be important because they'll get to see how much people are sticking with the show and love the show, and if it continues to grow, we'll get to make more. So whatever you can do to support it is greatly appreciated. So how were your Singapore? What was it like? What was the scariest moment when you were over there held captive?
Well... I'm trying to think. Well, the weirdest one is, so they have a big thing with cab drivers now. Well, Singapore is actually, like, super rich.
Right.
Like, Singapore is, like, cars cost twice as much. They have all these extra taxes and, like, everything is really expensive.
Uh-huh.
And they have these government projects that bring people from other countries over, and they're, like, engineers and stuff like that. So everything is, like, crazy expensive.
Like Dubai used to be?
Yeah, it's really high. Everything's super clean. Like, that's all those laws, you know, they have, no gum. There's no, you know, no littering. Like, littering, like, that's, you can get caned and all that kind of stuff.
That sounds like a dream. Oh, to live in a place that regards cleanliness like that just makes me so happy.
But it's such a mix of people. Like, there's tons of, like, every country in Asia, people go there because you can actually make money.
Right.
And then English is the first language for most of these people. So it's like, for comedy, it's like a real place that you can, like, get fans and people. And so they just have their first comedy club, like, this year.
So people are living there year-round, you mean? So it's not like so much people, expats come in?
Yeah,
like a little
it's
bit
all...
They're starting to stay.
Yeah, it's hilarious because all the best comics in Singapore are all from somewhere else. So The kid who won the contest, I had him open for me. He was a Russian guy.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because it's definitely not mimicking, but his act is very Yakov Smirnoff because the Russians are, like, kind of the
right,
the hated enemy again. And so his whole thing was, it's very, like, you know, he chose his words carefully. It's very, like, a low-key act, but... killed with everybody because, you know, he would just be like, you know, Putin, you know, doesn't do elections anymore. That's why we hold our elections in America. Just like really short, like funny
right.
stuff. And
that's good.
Yeah, he killed. And, you know, the other two guys were like, there's one guy from Britain. There's another guy from Kenya.
And those comedians just live there? And they...
That's yeah, they're all, I like mean, they're not doing it full time. They all move there for, like, real jobs.
Oh, they're not, it's not like No, it's not like a comic just says, hey, I'm going to live here because this scene is so good.
No, no. These are all like kids like late 20s, 30s that started doing stand-up, love doing it. It's still like not really a thing, and they're still not making much money.
Right.
And they have their day job and that kind of stuff.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So, but
oh,
it's,
that's cool, though. Did you have any jokes that... after your first night, realized, oh, that one's not, they're just not going to get it here?
Well, yeah, here's the thing is, so they have these very distinct communities, too. So, like, we did, like, the Friday night, we did a show at the comedy club, which was very, it was sold out both nights because it only held, like, 80 people.
Right.
So they sold it out, and then they took me in a car, as soon as I was done my set, they took me in a car to this Holland Z club, which was like a Dutch country club. And it was like 40% Dutch, but then it was like a lot of Americans, a lot of British people.
Right.
So it was like, then you start racking your brain like, oh, when I went to Amsterdam, which jokes did I do?
Right, which ones couldn't they get?
Yeah, it was really, I mean, it was interesting, the stuff that works everywhere, but then it was also cool to find out, like, you know, obviously you're inspired because you're in this new place, so you're right. trying to come up with stuff, but you're hoping it's not what everyone says. You know,
right,
like,
exactly.
everyone has the yeah. same thing. So.
Well, it's really crazy how you get on the subway. There's, like, in Denver where you get on the little tram from the, right? There's, like, that little tram that at the airport that takes you from the terminal out to the baggage claim, and it has this banjo music, and every comedian that comes in makes a joke about it.
Right, right.
you don't want to do that. Whatever is obvious, you want to kind of steer away from.
Yeah.
Did you make out with girls? Did you kiss any girls on the lips on this trip?
I would have liked to have done that, Tom, but it was primarily a business trip. I was.
Did you have a briefcase?
We ate a lot of food.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the whole thing. It was like... That's why it's funny with your, like, I felt like I could have done, like, an episode of one of those shows, you know, how they, like, you always see Bourdain traveling through. That's all it was. It's like, every time you walk somewhere, it's like a chicken hanging upside down and somebody making some kind of berry juice.
Yeah.
And, like, every two steps was, like, something amazing.
What was the weirdest thing you ate?
Well, I put up the one video, I was on my way to the show, and a lady has, like, just a tray, and she's walking up to people, and then you realize she's selling grilled scorpions, like, on a stick.
Did you eat one?
No. It scared the hell out of me.
Come on.
Well, it's just, like, imagine someone just walks up to you and then puts a scorpion in your face.
Like the makeup girl in the mall?
Yeah. And the funniest thing was, I was like... I was kind of joking, you know, because there's a bunch of the comics with me. I was like, no, I just ate. And then she reaches down and she pulls up the smaller one. like it was dessert.
What is the weirdest thing you actually ate, though?
I'm trying to think. I had, well, they have this thing there called durian, like D-U-R-I-A-N. Uh-huh. And it's one of those fruits that, like, the culture really embraces in Bangkok, but it smells terrible.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not, you're not even allowed to have it on public transit. Like, you can't bring it through the airport because
really?
It smells so bad. Yeah,
oh,
it's
my,
like,
God.
But they make everything out of it, and they make durian ice cream. They have, like, it's, they grill it, they do all kinds of stuff with it.
Jeez.
So I had the ice cream, but I didn't try the actual thing because I wanted to get that for, like, video because I, I had a feeling that was going to be, like, a real natural, like, horrible reaction. Even smelling it, apparently, is, like,
it's funny.
Is bad.
I bet there's reactions on YouTube about it.
Yeah, it's, and I'm trying to think. There was a bunch of cool stuff that I saw, though. I mean, it was, like, it was so funny. There's, like, a million 7-Elevens over there.
Right.
So, like, that's where you would go, like, just buy stuff. But then in front of the 7-Eleven, there would be, like, this lady making pad thai or, like, some kind of, like, chicken thing.
Right.
It was, like, amazing. It was so cool.
That's so great.
And all the desserts, too. I
don't understand why you didn't try and kiss the scorpion lady on the lips.
I'll show you her picture. Well, that's the weird thing is, so you have, it's this, I mean, there's guys actually in Thailand, it's a lot of people that are, they move there to teach English, you know, at the international schools. Uh-huh. And those guys are, like, there's a guy from California that he was, I think, second place in the contest, and he was really funny, and he runs, like, a couple nights at this comedy house.
Right.
And so you have to, like, you know, they're trying to bark people in.
Wow.
And then, but there's this, they're selling food, they're selling ice cream. There's a massage place is like every 10 feet. It's like the Thai massage thing is like a real, I mean, there's definitely like the super shady ones, but then there's like, you can just get a massage for like $5, like on the street, they'll just massage your feet.
Did you do that?
Yeah, they're good. And, but that's the thing. It's like literally like, you know, a massage is $5, or you can see comedians, or you can
right
eat everything on the street for $10.
Sounds like madness.
Yeah, it's pretty insane, and that's the place where, you know, everyone's got mopeds, everyone's flying by.
Yeah,
there's red and then there's green. There's no yellow. So like it's either
when you come back and drive here, do you feel like it's so easy?
Oh yeah, and I feel like we must be really bad drivers.
Yeah, either that or we just expect everything to be perfect all the time.
Well, you know how in New York, like, you have a certain, like, okay, there's always going to be traffic, but you kind of have this, like, almost water-like flow. Like, you're pretty close to this guy, but you're not going to hit him.
Yeah.
Even if he stops, you just kind of move to the side, and there's, like, this very, like, even flow to it. And that's what they have, and they're, like, within inches of each other.
Yeah, every other country is just, you know, people with mopeds with babies on the back,
yeah,
flying around, and I always remark at that, like, these are good, like, they're chaotic, but they're good, like, they're, no one's, yeah, they're not crashing into each other. They've just got.
I didn't see one accident, not one,
right?
And that did remind me though, because I was like, this is so amazing that everyone, like, you know, I stereotype this a little bit, but it's like there's a lot of women just like in skirts, like riding mopeds to work,
right,
and stuff like that. I was like, oh, that's like really cool.
Yeah.
And
why don't you kiss one of them?
I wish. They were moving too fast.
You got to get your own moped, for crying out loud.
But that did come to my mind, was like, oh, this is great. How come we're not more like this? Even when I was thinking about like, well, why don't I ride one of these things? It can't be that. And then you see, like, the teenager driving, and then the mom's holding a baby, and it's like, oh, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah, right, exactly. What's up with the storm? Are we going to get is the storm going to be a big thing?
That's what they're trying to say. It's the biggest thing that's ever going to happen, right? That's every storm.
Yeah.
But
now everyone's going to be, like, the worst one ever. I heard it, like, kind of ticked down a little, didn't it?
I don't know. It's my sister's in North Carolina, so she's inland pretty far, like Charlotte, but I think it's supposed to go through North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Let's see what the storm update.
People are either going to be upset that it's not as big as they thought, or it's going to be horrible and nobody warned them.
Yeah. Watch out, America. Hurricane Florence is so enormous. We could only capture her with a super wide-angle lens from the space station. Get prepared at the East Coast. This is, no kidding, nightmare coming for you. God, who's writing that? Alexander the Great.
Jeez.
What is that? I don't think
I'm sure, like, he doesn't sound official.
It doesn't sound really official. it's got to clear up by next week, because I have a live Come to Papa on Tuesday in New York, and then I go up to Portland, Maine,
nice,
and then Rhode Island and West Hampton. A big week of comedy. So I don't want this Florence.
Are you outside again?
Getting in the way.
The Hamptons?
No, the Hamptons, I'll be inside. Wind and rain hit the Outer Banks. Wind and rain of Hurricane Florence has begun to lash the North Carolina on Thursday, with the storm growing in size, packing sustained winds of up to 105 miles an hour, and driving a storm surge that could reach 13 feet in places. It is a category, what? I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to give it a 3. It's not that hot.
That was my old joke that, you know, you always screw up lyrics when you're a kid.
Oh, wait, it's down to 2.
2?
It was a 4, then it was a 3, now it's a 2. Anyone dies from a 2, you've got problems.
Your house is crap. Yeah, what was
your joke?
The Stones, Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Yeah.
The first line is like, I was born in a crossfire hurricane. And my friend thought it was class 5 hurricane. I was like, yeah, Mick Jagger's a meteorologist. He loves throwing in those terms.
Crossfire hurricane. What a great line. All right. So I guess the storm will be fine. I guess I'll be going up to Portland, Maine next Thursday without incident.
You'll be all right.
I can make it. Are the leaves changing? This is the time of year when the leaves are changing.
I'm sure they got snow.
It sounded like Dice Clay character.
Are the leaves changing? I was going to ask you.
Yes, sir.
There is a day Yankee game that might be your last chance on Tuesday.
I am trying to go to the Yankee game on Wednesday in between Come to Papa and... Portland, Maine.
Oh, I see.
And my good friend Debbie at the Yankees is trying to arrange for tickets, and we're having some difficulty. It's a Red Sox game,
right?
Which is a big deal. I could see, like, if we're chasing them in the pennant, them being tough tickets to come by. But we are now 10 games back,
yeah,
in an impossible situation. We're not going to get them. We're actually fighting for our lives we're only a game ahead in the wild card
right now.
So Red Sox, Schmed Sox, give me some tickets.
Yeah.
Right?
Stop messing around.
Come on. I haven't been to one game all year. Come on, Debbie.
Come on, Debbie. We can do a baked episode from the Yankee Stadium food court.
I think she's holding out. I think she's like, bring me some bread again. I brought her bread last year.
Maybe.
And I think she's like, either you bring me bread or it's not happening. I'm gonna email her right now as we're talking. And say, is it about the bread? Debbie.
I think it is. And we had football season started since I was gone. I was awake for the 1 a.m. kickoff in Singapore to watch the New York Giants play, and I didn't get to see it.
I heard they looked pretty good, but made some mistakes.
Well, the offense looks good, except for the line and the I think everyone was excited for football season, and first week everyone still has hope. But Saquon Barkley, the rookie running back, looked great.
I heard he looked great. That's
Eli
exciting.
Eli looked great. So
it'll be a fun year. I didn't realize, again, you forget from last year that they had only won 3 games last year.
Oh, geez.
It's so awful. 3 the whole season. I don't remember that pain. I must have checked out.
Yeah, we kind of checked out early last year.
Yeah, so we got to hang in there. It is nice having it on, I have to admit. I don't watch it as much, especially now during baseball. But I am definitely, it's, again, when you don't live in a place that has weather, seeing football on and having to get my picks in, pretty good. My football pool, I had my daughter, I would just tell her the games, and she picked the city.
Okay.
Right? So Cleveland, Pittsburgh, she picks whatever. No regard for the spread, no regard for anything. And, she did pretty great. She was like 9-6, 10-6.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 10-6, not knowing anything. So,
what's there to know?
This weekend, yeah, I know, exactly. This week I'm going to try and do it and see what happens. But it is nice. This is good bread baking time also.
Right.
I made an amazing 2 loaves of olive bread. Who, Nelly? You're not an olive bread fan.
I'm not an olive fan.
Yeah.
I am a sesame seed.
It is funny, and I don't think we call out enough how ironic it is or how funny it is, just purely hilarious, that I have a show on the Food Network, and my buddy doesn't eat any foods. Like, we don't really point that out very much. I mean, we used to highlight that you'd never eaten an egg before and that you don't eat all these different foods. And I guess it got overwhelmed in the tsunami of this bread thing. But I think it's time to go back and reconsider how hilarious it is that I'm on the Food Network, and you don't eat food.
Well, that can be the next show is me eating all these foods.
That's yeah.
Well, we're finally going to Austin, so we can go see my buddy, the Iron Chef.
Yeah,
in Austin,
for sure.
David Bull. So he...
That'll be good.
Yeah, he's the one who
November 2nd, I think we're there. We have a lot of dates coming up.
Well, Texas, we haven't gone to, really, so that's our...
We have a lot of dates.
That'll be good, man.
Cleveland, Kansas City, Austin, San Antonio, New York, Boise, Livermore, Dallas, Kansas City, I said already, Irvine. Holy cow, we're going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Denver.
We'll be eating.
we're going to eat our way through. That's why I got to keep up my running regimen. Keep Michelle Wolf excited.
Yeah, that, well, you would have loved going there because there was so much food and everything was like a mixture, like, of like crazy stuff. Like, even on the airplane, I had, they had like chicken spaghetti.
Wow.
Like chicken. It's just very odd, like,
yeah,
combinations of stuff that you're never.
Yeah, you're like, welcome to this culture, pal.
Well, that was what was cool about the Filipina lady that makes the caramel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah, creme caramel.
How was it?
It was good. It was good. It wasn't my favorite.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not like
too sweet for you, I bet.
Well, it's not. Yeah, the that texture, that pudding kind of texture, was never my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that ube that she put in it, and it was really good. And it's right around here. We can just go to it.
Yeah, I have to check it out because they had a thing like in. There's a place called Jollibee, which is like the Philippine version of like, I think like Anthony Bourdain went there when he was in LA.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like their fast food kind of, but it's good.
Uh-huh.
And they have a dessert called Halo Halo,
uh-huh.
which is like that purple, I thought it was taro is what that stuff was.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But it's ube. Some kind of...
It's like a yam, yeah. like a purple yam.
It looked pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
it was a
very
cool color.
Cool. And it did taste great. I don't mean to... It's just like, it's not my number one style of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's good. My kids were really into it. And I had unicorn poop, which was
right,
really fun.
Right, I saw that.
Which was delicious.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool when you can like develop something... Because like you were saying, it is like very delicate. Like everything they made, there's like a thin layer of this and another
For sure.
layer of that. And
yeah, that kind of baking is like, I look at that and it's like, all right, I'm not making that at home. Sticky buns, just rolling out some dough and throwing some cinnamon and butter on it. I can do that.
Right.
Making those delicate pastry kind of items. Glee. So before we go, we haven't done jokes in a while. And... I don't feel like doing it right now.
Are you getting have you had any feedback about it?
No. No.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm not. All right, fine. I'll do one. How about this? This is from 50 short jokes that anyone can remember.
Okay.
So these will be good for you to take out. You know, a lot of times we don't like to do a lot of times as comedians, people come up and ask us to be funny on the spot because they expect us to have a joke, and we don't normally have jokes. And when we read these, you'll realize why. Did you hear about the mathematician who's afraid of negative numbers? He'll stop at nothing to avoid them.
I don't know about that.
So short, you can remember yourself. Why do we tell actors to break a leg?
I don't know.
Because every play has a cast. Reader's Digest coming in with the controversial, hardcore stuff. They're like the Louis C.K. of
Are you sure you wanted to put yourself
jokes.
Through this?
Yesterday, I saw a guy spill all his Scrabble letters on the road. This is such a horrible premise to begin with. Yesterday, I saw a guy spill all his Scrabble letters on the road. I asked him, what's the word on the street? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Control freak.
Control freak who?
Con. Okay, now you say control freak who?
We missed rehearsal.
A woman in labor suddenly shouted, "Shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't." "Don't worry," said the doc. "Those are just contractions."
Oh, that's an English joke.
Oh, Reader's Digest coming in hot. How about one dirty joke?
Uh-oh.
And then we'll end this week's podcast in a painful note. Dirty jokes. I'm going to go with the list that has 17 dirty jokes, because that's a weird number. Click to reveal. What is that? Oh, that's terrible. I don't like to be too dirty. Oh, this is a classic. It's a terrible one. It's bad.
Okay.
But it's one of the first dirty jokes I ever heard as a child.
All right.
I'm not kidding, and it happens to be in this list. I'm not going to apologize. I'm just going to go for it.
Okay.
It's not terrible. It's innocent. What's green and smells like Miss Piggy? Kermit's finger. That was the first dirty joke I ever heard.
Oh, my God.
It's a classic. It's like, take my wife, please. Oh, that's painful. All right. Well, that's it for today. Good to have you back. Glad you're finally in fall mode.
Yes.
Get some cinnamon sticks. Put them in a pot of water. Get them on your stovetop and fill your apartment with the smells of a changing season.
Summer's over.
Summer's over, man. Put away all your flashy summer sneakers. Bring out the boots. Find a hayride. The biggest trouble with finding a pumpkin picking spot out here in California is finding one where the pumpkins haven't rotted from the 100 degree.
Right.
It's not exactly fall here, but we can go into the mountains. That's fun.
Boney Island.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to be exciting. Go to TomPapa.com and all that good stuff. Paul is a website.com. Make sure you go on Food Network's Facebook page. Spread the word. Baked. Big one on Monday.
Baked.
We're looking for good ratings. We're going to kill it on Monday with Philadelphia. Spread the word. Tell your friends and enjoy the show. And as always, enjoy your life.